podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hi, welcome to Under Pressure. I'm Simon. On the pod this evening, we have no Darth, so here we have Bart. How you doing, Bart?
How you doing, man? You're right.
I'm good. How are you, Hamza?
I'm good, thanks.
Yeah, we've got all of the official stuff out of the way. We're going to crack on chatting about Atalanta. I love Bergamo, by the way. And a little bit about Fulham. I do not love Fulham. It's nice to come in after two wins, because we did the shitty one after two losses last time, which was way less fun, but we had way more shots. So we can probably link those two things together. Who wants to go on the Atalanta team? How do we set up, Bart?
How did we set up? I'm going to go with our side, because there's no chance I'm going to go with them. Usual for us, Ali returned in goal again in Europe, which has been a change. Somebody kept being the Europa League keeper throughout the whole season. Back four, I would say arguably first choice, arguably, potentially. Midfield, Matt takes the six with Dom and CJ either side. Then I'm just going through where I'm at. I don't think it was Diaz, Mo and Cody started. In the front three, with Cody false nine position as he plays it. Fairly strong side. I don't know whether people had eyebrows about it, but I showed that he was, I thought going for it, trying to turn it around.
So we had four changes, I think, for this. Largely, it was the only argument would ever be about Darwin or Gakpo, wouldn't it? Because people are always
talking
about that. But I don't know how much you can argue when he's just come back from, what did he have, like 13 games off?
So in terms of first choice, in terms of overall first choice. But
I am enjoying, as we can delve into, the change in the narrative around Jota this season. Now it's first choice, where I wonder where that changed. I reckon January, February, maybe it changed for the first time ever that Jota was going to be a first choice player. I don't think before that, I think we were fairly unique on here in praising his talents and how he fits into the team. And he was definitely fourth choice.
Yeah. The change, if you like, the half an hour to go change, or in a midweek game, he'd start. Yeah. That, you know what I mean?
But most people, I'd imagine that the first choice was going to be Mo, Darwin and Diaz. Like for the season, I think that's what you said about the back four, back five, which is only, it was the third game this season, the back five started a game.
Yeah.
I don't know if Ibu was absolute first choice, if we have even a first choice centre back at the beginning of the season, because we usually had a midweek and a week.
Yeah, Matip playing, Prem and Konate playing. Yeah. I know
that works. Yeah. But it's only the third start for those two guys. But you would see probably that's the most talented back five, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, of the players currently available, I'd pick Matip over Konate, but that's just me. But in terms of who's available, that's your best back five you've got available.
Yeah.
The only choice, I think Endo is still carrying that knock thing, so didn't playing. I think you had him as red, didn't you, on your fatigue index?
He was very red, yeah. So he didn't get anything. He got dragged off at 40 at half time in against Palace, didn't he? And he looked knackered. So as the selections stand up, I think that it wasn't far off what people would have hoped for. If we were again, that's my analogy of being half pregnant. Because of the shitty Premier League form, suddenly all our eggs went into we better try as hard as we possibly can to win this. Whether we would or not, I'm not sure. Maybe we would have done, but we were definitely all out trying for this game. Hamza, have you got anything to say about the changes for Atalanta? What do you know about their players?
I don't know too much about them. To be honest, I haven't had a chance to watch them that much other than the matches we lost this season. But I did notice that their system, given they had a 3-0 lead, you probably wouldn't expect them to just press as high as they did. But that's how they play, and we noticed that when we played them back in the Champions League. They have their style, and while they did sort of cede possession a bit, the system was still roughly the same. They were trying to press us in our own half, keep us pinned back. We try to respond with long balls, and then it becomes a matter of duels. And I don't think Liverpool won their duels in either match consistently. I don't know too much about the team and the first choice team because I haven't watched them too much. But the way that they played wasn't too different from what I've seen.
Yeah, Lookman, he is the English fella who runs a lot. He's rapid and comes on as a winger occasionally for them. Pasalic tends to start. I find these teams very often interesting in that they've got a bunch of lads who failed in the Premier League, who were never first choice players for their team in the Premier League. And suddenly they go off and become these, you know, talents, or let's say they embed themselves as first choice starters and become the thing that they were bought for or they were bought from, because something makes the Premier League team buy them in the first place. They're good form at whatever the club, and they just don't do it. Klasinac, Zappa Costa looked like a threat to me for most of the game. Scamacca looks like a real talent. Like he's a proper talent for Italy. He looked like a beast against us, but mainly Anfield. Yeah, it is what it is. What have you got? The match data
summary.
Yeah,
I go top level because it's midweek and yep. Possession wise, 64 versus 35 in our favour, which is kind of what Hamza just said. They just carry on doing what they do. They don't really want the ball that much. Field tilt is where I think it is interesting because it's 52-47. So again, they want the ball in our final third, if you get what I mean. That's the whole game plan, is get it in as quick as possible. And you can see in their pass chains, they are very low or low, which means all their ball is below five, if you know what I mean, in terms of pass length, which is, again, shown in some of the other biz. Shots, 8-10 in our favour. Big chances, 3 to us. Outside the box shots, 6-1 in our favour. Not sure that's a good or a bad thing. XG, 0.57 to them, 1.58 to us. Threats, obviously that's with a penalty, so actually our non-penalty XG was 1.57 to 1.79, so yeah, you know, in and around the same sort of figure. EPV for them, 0.58, and us just over the 1, so they were pretty much bang on 100% conversion and we were just below 150 conversion. Pass rate for us, 82, which considering 85 is normally in and around, I say 3%, but it's a jot off. There's again 63, which I think is lower than the first league, but it's not what they're about. In my mind, tactically, it's a very short pass into the final for try and win your duels in there and create something from nothing. Not from nothing, but a low amount of passes. In terms of who should have won the game, unsurprisingly, we were 67% to win the game, but I think it's actually quite the story. The highest probability of scoreline was 1-0. At 23%, which is one of the highest when I've run these normally you get like is 18 or 15 as being the high, but 23% for a 1-0 shows you that this pretty much finished how it should have finished, if we're being honest.
Yeah, makes sense. For me, it was very much that. Again, like a lot of the games this season, I end up not watching live. And then rewatching after I've seen the narrative play out. I joined this game at 60.
Wow.
Having heard what was going on and getting excited while on the pitch when we get the penalty at 6 minutes. And it just never quite transpired. Hamza, talk through the first 10, because that was pretty much it, I thought, for the game.
Yeah, I'd agree. There was intent to score early, start well. I imagine there would have been references in the training room, in the dressing room, to sort of the Barcelona match. Get a goal early and then see how you are at halftime and then really push. So this was a pretty much perfect start. The big difference here was that Trent was starting, so he was involved in play quite a lot. As it so happened that over the course of the match, he was actually quite deep, but in this first period of the match, he's getting forward a bit more. He's actually on the overlap for when Liverpool win the penalty, so he's running around the outside of the box, and he crosses to win the penalty. But yeah, the start was good. It was strong. It was intense, pressed high, won the ball, and tried to get some shots away early. But beyond that, everything seemed to fizzle out. There was a chance a bit later on in the first half where Salah was able to attempt to lob the goalkeeper. And after that, I don't remember a shot for a good 30 minutes or so. But yeah, the start was concerted, solid, with intent. And to be honest, that has actually been missing for most of the matches this season. So it was actually a break from that. But then after that, then we had the sort of lethargy sort of crept in and the game ran away.
Yeah, they had their first shot on 28 minutes. But the thing is that the opening 10. It actually wasn't the key. The opening 13 was the key for that. So we had our third shot, which was Szobo shot from outside the box, which was hard to the left. It was a not much of a chance. The big chance was after the penalty, which was, do we all concede it was a penalty? And then a lovely finish by Mo.
Yeah.
That's usually a penalty, yeah.
Yeah.
And then there was a lovely pass from Trent into Diaz, who missed the inaugural big chance so Darwin gets the blame for missing his big chance conversion, and rightly so. He does miss the big chances, but I delved into a little bit before the last pod about moments during games and a game state where we score big chances or we miss big chances, and Darwin had scored three, which kind of helped, and he had missed in six separate games. No, in the five games that we hadn't won, he had missed a big chance in the first 20 minutes in four of them. But Diaz has missed a big chance in all of them in the first 15 minutes. He loves to miss that. He's just not a natural finisher, is it? I think that's what it is. It's probably a little bit of randomness. But if you actually think about it, you kind of remember, oh, yeah, I remember that header. Oh, yeah, I remember when he went through there. And for some reason, it doesn't slot in my brain that Diaz has been the wasteful finisher, because maybe I didn't have such high hopes for his standards in the first place. I don't know. But when it comes to big chances missed in games we didn't win or games we had to win late in the game, that Diaz is right up there with the big culprits.
Yeah.
And after 13 minutes, we didn't have another shot on goal that's not true. We didn't have another shot on goal for 26 minutes from inside their half. So there was one from Virgil that was inside his half on 30. But apart from that, we didn't create anything for 28 minutes. They were just happy and content for us. We had one touch inside their box in that period of time. They had two touches inside ours. And so something occurred. We would maybe just been really patient and trying to give nothing away, but they were very happy with where we had possession. We were happy with what we were doing. It seemed when nobody was forcing it. And then we, that one moment where, can you take us through the Mo chance, Hamza?
Yeah, I can. This was, you've had the DS chance, which, where Gekpo plays Diaz in. How much? How large was that on XG?
That was, hang on, 0.31.
I think might be a bit harsh. He only just gets the ball and it's smothered. There's another chance which doesn't actually turn into a shot on goal where Gekpo breaks onto Trent's pass and he plays into Salah. Salah tries to slip pass into Diaz, but it's intercepted. So there's a few moments where Liverpool are building and have potential opportunities, but then the big one is the Salah one. So the plan that Liverpool have had is to sort of draw Atalanta deep and then use long direct passes to be able to attack the space in behind and use the speed of Diaz and Salah and the strength of them and Gakpo too. This situation is slightly different. But it's still the same sort of principles, right? Atalanta's high line, getting behind it, trying to expose that, get early passes in. And in this occasion, it's Salah running inside of the left wing back, and Gakpo is around the halfway line, chips it over the top, and suddenly Salah's through. The goalkeeper rushes forward and then hesitates, realising he probably shouldn't have rushed forwards. And in doing that, he makes the decision for Salah quite simple. It's just to lob him because he's around 16 yards off his line, 15-ish, whereas Salah's around 30 yards out from goal. Ball bouncing up, and he just sort of side-foots it, but not cleanly, wide of the goal. It's a poor finish, and I think if Liverpool score that, they do have momentum and impetus that they can sort of take into the second half. But from this point onwards, that's pretty much Liverpool done, I think. Everything fizzles out after that, but yeah, the idea was to generate those chances by playing deep and then going long. I mean, there's a little stat that I'll read out. So the long ball rate was 26% against Atalanta. Usually it's 12%, so it's more than doubled. But the completion rate was 42.7%, and usually the completion rate is 58.2%. So even though the number of attempted long balls increased, the actual success rate of those that were able to be retained and held up fell. And I think that speaks to how Liverpool tried to generate as many duels as possible and actually lost those duels. But that's how the man-to-man system works. Usually we come out on top, but we didn't. I think there's some poor decision-making and poor hold-up in many of those situations.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Do you feel like we learned a little bit, or maybe we attempted something different from the home game in the instead of punching through the lines, we tried to go over them instead, over their man marking.
But I don't think it was particularly effective. But I think that's more a matter of sort of execution. I think
it's harder. It's harder to kick the ball long. And it's not just hard to kick the ball long. It's harder to kick the ball long and retain possession. Otherwise, everybody would do it because it's maths. If you're trying to score from closer to the goal, the quicker you get it closer to the goal, the more chance you're going to have. But it's much harder to do.
It's hard to retain the ball after the long balls, as in like not just if you lose a first contact, but to counter press afterwards. Because let's say you are playing deep. Let's say you've got all of your back four deep and your goalkeeper and a midfielder's dropped as well, or two midfielders have dropped. Suddenly, that means that the opponents are now pushing all their players forward because they're playing man-to-man and they have one man spare at the back. So that opens up the space. But if you go long, suddenly you can't counter-press as effectively because your counter-pressers, most of them, are deep in your own half. It's harder to get those regains high up the field. So you just have to be more accurate and more efficient with the initial pass and retain that first ball well with good hold-up play and good support runners around that. But you didn't quite work.
Yeah. So counter-pressing is done within the first 2 seconds of losing possession. And if a player is running at acceleration speed, so if a player is waiting for that possession to be lost and then running towards them, 2 seconds yields 14 meters at absolute most. Like that would be the fastest player on the pitch, being as alert as humanly possible, running as fast as humanly possible. So you're probably looking, right, between 8 and 10 metres away that a player has to be, otherwise they won't get there. So if you're playing a long ball, you're turning over the top, you're turning a defence, you're getting one player running against their one player. What they're also doing is running further away from their help defence. So it's too long a period of time for them to be able to get there, as well as too much distance is too long for it to be considered a counter press. It then just becomes Lallana press. So yeah, you're right. It's just harder to do when we're playing long balls like that. Unless the long ball is a diagonal and it's strategic in how we used to play to Bobby or just over the halfway line from deeper in our half. You drop it over the head of Bobby, who doesn't bother jumping, but he's already ready for the knockdown. But it's on the halfway line, so he's got a bunch of midfielders around there too. So if you're getting it, knocking it beyond, it's just impossible to counter press. And so we're attacking, but removing one of our single biggest attacking tactic, our biggest attacking weapon by removing game pressing. So if we get beyond halftime, we had all of the touches. So we got pretty much double their touches. We'd had 8 shots to their one and one shot in the box, but only one shot in the box to 2. The big chance was Mo's. Statistically, it wasn't the biggest chance, but it was obviously the biggest chance because at some point you have to leverage the fact that it's Mo Salah. We've seen that he can do that as well as anybody in the world. And the ball bounced perfectly for him. And he just managed to miss kick it with his ankle instead of getting it with the instep and slotted it wide. I wonder, I know we're a stats driven pod, but it's becoming more and more of a conversation piece, I think, this year. I wonder what that does to the brains of the other players in the team when Mo Salah misses that chance.
It shouldn't do too much, given the way that Liverpool have played this season, where everyone seems to miss the first opportunity or the second opportunity.
We already missed the first opportunity.
And chances keep coming. And I think I mentioned that Barcelona match. I mean, the chances in that match that sort of not as big as that one, like, that could have turned into goals, and the team persisted. But that's obviously at home, the support behind them. I think... In this match, it's slightly different. I think that does sort of knock the wind out of the sails a bit.
I think it's timing, though.
Mm.
I don't disagree with you, Hamza. I think, personally, Besides being around more than I, but the teams I've been around with, you know how much energy you've got. I think these boys still, if they don't have it done by half time, they ain't doing it. I genuinely think because of how they had on the team, the fact they knew Trent could only really do an hour and he was literally the key, right? All the balls, as I said, playing diagonally and that, he was doing that in the first 15. I genuinely think we came out half time, we knew we weren't going to win the game. Because we'd missed that many of you also won the one after that chance, the guy who gets booked for a yellow when it should have been denied a goal scoring opportunity, Diaz is throw on goal, right? That's another chance for another. I just think you don't miss that many opportunities before half time. It's not like Barcelona. We got the early goal, we missed a couple, but in the first half, there wasn't that many clear cut. We came out second half, if we knew we changed the players around, we got the goals in good periods of time. I think that miss on 38, whether it was Mull or not, I just think we needed to score it. We needed to go in within a goal after half time because I genuinely think the boys have seen the game. We ain't got a lot left.
Personally. So, I think there's something in that. I also think this is where Hamza comes in. They change stuff at half time. And in the first, well, let's say the first, I split up into halves of half, so we've got quarters throughout the game. So up to 67, which falls nicely where we made a sub. So up to the point where we do the triple sub, Diaz, Salah, and Zobo come off for Jota, Darwin, and Harvey, we'd had more of the possession again, 216 touches to 127, but they'd had five shots and we'd had one. And they had four shots in our box, and they had nine touches in our box, and we had two in theirs, both from a corner.
100% field tilt.
There you go. So, Hamza, take us through the tactical changes that they made.
I don't think I'm as well positioned to do this as yourself this time.
Okay, so they largely they had gone from having 10 behind the twos, and they were allowing our defense to recycle as much as possible, and then planning for us to press through to pass through the middle, and they were man marking there, rotating through there. They then stopped one rotation so that they had the help defense against the long ball you're talking about. They went to allow the Konate possession and pressed Trent. They basically doubled on Trent for periods in that, and Trent had the most touches in that period, but created absolutely nothing because there was nothing for him. So he just had to turn and recycle, and they could just press us. From the second moment that Trent turned, they could just press and break around us and create chances.
In your pass map show, first off, we've got the build up a little bit. We've got our normal kind of patterns with a bit long. Second half, it's literally like a massive B, if you get what I mean. We're just going out through the width. We're not doing the stuff in the middle. There's no connections in the middle to squares. It just goes out to the half spaces and limited in the final third connections as well.
Yeah, I my guess also would be that so Mac had played the most minutes outside of Virgil since the Arsenal FA Cup game, and he played seven full 90s in a row. Bear in mind, one of those was 120, and most of them are 100. He looked gassed, Mac. And he was playing a pivotal six in this alongside Trent, who looked gassed by about 28. And he stuck around to 65, but he just didn't have the burst in his legs to create passing angles so that they could get away from their man. So they then have to go down the sides. And I think that, alongside how well Atlanta structured and pressed us, that just gave them momentum. That was it. And then so we try to change things by bringing on the three biggest weapons on the bench. And what happens from there?
Nothing else.
Hamza, did you? How much did you watch the actual game?
I watched the first half and then I struggled for the second. But then I managed to get a string back up for towards the end where nothing much really happened. But I was looking through the UPB and the graphics that Bart's put together, and if people are listening in, you can just see all the sort of the shaded areas are deep within Liverpool's half in both the first and the second half. I mean, in the first half, you've actually got so 10% is the largest cluster of EPV that Liverpool get. There's one cluster on the left wing in the final third, one cluster also in zone 14, and the other 10% cluster is actually in the reverse zone 14, so it's in on just outside Liverpool's own box. That's where Liverpool had possession in the first half. And in the second half, you see that those same patterns as well. There's just a cluster of central possession, but none that's really penetrative. And that is a consequence of the pressing that you detailed earlier. But yeah, I didn't get the sense that the substitutions changed too much, because it felt like Liverpool were really limp. And it felt like they were going through the motions.
Which would evidence, the stats to evidence that, is that there were three touches in the box, in either box, between them coming on and the 90th minute.
Yeah,
we had one, they had two.
Yeah, no one got in each other's, do you know what I mean? Not in enough to get a statistically amount for a field tilt. No one got in those areas. So for that period of time, it was just dead, just in the middle doing nothing.
Yeah, there was a lot of play just around the back, cycling possession, again, looking for the opening, but as mentioned earlier, the long passes weren't quite working to open up the place. So it was just turnover, ball comes back, recycle, and then same sort of routine again.
The Ali had the second most touches in 34 minutes. Yeah, Ali had the second most touches from the 67th minute, which is just bonkers. I don't know if I've ever seen it.
That must be what Virgil going back to him, to Konate, to back to Galli, to back to Virgil, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
of
yeah. And football. And Mac is a
just four, popping it back.
Four of them were four just doing that for the whole time. It was just bonkers. Midfield had, the rest of the midfield had nothing. Ali had more touch, had more than twice as many touches as any Atalanta player in that period. It's crazy. Yeah,
that's nuts.
They basically just forced us into doing, or no, they just allowed us to do a thing that wasn't in any way dangerous to them, and we couldn't overcome it. Through my feeling is that Klopp's team, as he talks about all the time, Trent pointed out a couple of weeks ago in that famous interview that he doesn't care about us being the best. He doesn't want us to be the best team in the world. He wants us to be the hardest team to play against in the world. And that requires the most physically intensive efforts. We are not capable of that right now. And without that, there are just gaps and it just becomes easy. I'm not sure we know how to dictate games without that level of intensity. I think there were probably periods for 3 years, there were periods in a season where we could manage our way of doing that. But we're definitely not. I don't know if we're strategically not been set up for that this season, or if our lads just don't have they've not learned to do that yet. Because this is a new team. Yes. So maybe that's what it is.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, anfieldindexpro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.